believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all. I believe that he's here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive.
Second verse.
I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for us all. I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst.
Okay. I remember reading in the paper a few years ago of a family, they'd gone to Heathrow, and they'd been filmed in tears because they had not checked out whether their reservation was confirmed or not. They were standing there with packed all their bags ready for holiday, and there they were all hugging each other. They just hadn't checked it out. And I love the shepherd story, I don't know about you. They were nobodies. They weren't prominent in the church. They were not special in society. They weren't Terry Wogan or George Michael or any of the other famous people, David Bowie or whatever. They wouldn't be missed by millions who plant flowers or whatever in their memory. They were just ordinary people, ordinary working fellas. And they heard this astonishing message of the first Christmas. And they said, basically, let's go. Let's go and see that. Let's check it out. And off they went. And they checked it out. And they found, because our God is a God of truth, who is remarkable in his attention to detail, when they went and checked it out, they found it was exactly as they'd been told. They just checked it out. Have you ever checked it out? That's what I want to ask you. Just one thing I want to ask. Have you ever checked it out to see if Jesus is real and if he can save you? When I was a very young Christian, somebody in church said to me, but you must realize it's all about faith. It doesn't matter if it's not reasonable. I don't know what you make of that. I don't make much of that at all. I said, what are you talking about? It's not reasonable. Of course it's reasonable. It's totally logical. It makes sense. It can be verified. It can be checked. If Jesus says, repent and believe, I'll save you, then if we repent and believe, he'll save us. And we can verify it. We can prove it to ourselves and to the world. I was privileged in the mid-90s to hear Professor Werner Wright. He was a professor of rheumatology in Leeds University. And he was touring UK best he could. He was dying. And he was touring to try and preach until he dropped. And he was preaching a very simple message. It's not so much about faith, he said. Faith is important, but it's about facts. It's faith based on facts. It's true. Jesus really came. He really lived. He really died. He is risen. That's a fact. And therefore, we trust him because of the facts. Now, I know logic can't save, right? Reason alone can't save. But Christianity is logical. It is reasonable. It can be verified because it's true. And again, I ask you, have you checked? The shepherds, what they heard that night. Can you imagine that night shift? Can you imagine the message they hear? Is it hard to believe? Of course, it's impossible to believe. But they did the one thing they could. They must have said to themselves, this sounds absolutely ridiculous. But let's go and find out. Let's check then. Let's go and see. See, Karl Marx, father of communism, he hated Christianity because it gave people hope. He called it the opium of the masses, a sedative, a tranquilizer. And for many people in church, maybe some of you, that's what it is. It's a chill pill. It makes people feel a little bit calmer about whatever's around the corner. To other people, it's a toy or a hobby. But the real thing, real Christianity, biblical Christianity, is a miracle that can be verified. It's a miracle. You know where we were on Wednesday? It was a great study on Wednesday in there, looking at 1 Corinthians 15, how Jesus is alive now, and because he's alive, all the ramifications. And there we were in a room full of people who were miracles. People who've been born again, saved. Now, I know that the world sometimes says something's a miracle because they just mean it's impressive. And sometimes people just don't believe that certain things are possible. Like when Henry Ford drove his Model T in 1896, I think it was, he drove his Model T into a town to demonstrate it. People shouted, "Get a horse, Henry!" Well, how wrong they were. How wrong. And when in the 70s, when IBM CEO said, there's only room probably in the whole world for maybe 5 or 6 computers. How wrong can you be? Now nearly everybody's got one. So we can get impressive things wrong when somebody says, oh, this is what we're going to do, and we can be wrong. But some years ago, I met an old guy. He was converted in the late 40s in Cross Hands, converted to Christ. And he had two mates who were, there were three of them were atheists. This guy was now converted, and the other two were big mates, the two atheists. And one went off to Canada to make his fortune. He came back after about 10 years. He hadn't made his fortune, but he came back and he met his mate. You know, the two atheists reunited. But of course, one of them who stayed in Cross Hands has been saved. So the fella comes back from Canada and he says, oh, how are you doing? He says, oh, I've been saved. Oh, no, he said, come on, man, that's rubbish. And the Christian says to him, right, I'll tell you what then. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray now. I'm going to ask God to turn your black hair white now. And do you know what the atheist said? No! Now, why did he say that? He had a sneaky suspicion. God might be able to do it. Otherwise, he'd just say, do what you like. Say what you like. It's all a load of rubbish. But he said, no! I imagine myself like the shepherds, you know. Say, I think of myself, say 40 years ago, being with the shepherds there, and hearing this message, saying, rubbish, boys, it's rubbish. And them saying, well, let's go. No. Let's go. Look, you say it's rubbish, let's check. No. That's what I was like. No, not interested. I don't want to know, thanks. No, thank you. Would you be interested? No, thanks. Do you want to? No, thanks. Scared, see? Scared, just in case. Let's go. There's no proof unless you go. That's the thing. You can't prove it academically sitting back in a chair. You've got to go to God. You've got to go and find out, is this Lord Jesus Christ who he says he is? And when they went, they worshipped him. They found out it is absolutely true. It's true. Let's check it out. Christianity is verifiable. You can check it out. It works. At least the real thing works. There's fake. There's counterfeit Christianity. There are thousands and thousands of fakes on the loose. What have you got? When a friend of mine was dying in his 30s, a Christian, he wrote to all the past members of the youth group that though he was dying, and he knew he was, he wrote that the Lord Jesus Christ was real. And one dismissive reply he had was something like this. You know, thanks, I'm sorry you're in, you know, sorry you're dying and so on, very sorry for you. Regarding this Christianity, I tried it didn't work for me. And my friend replied to him, can I explain to you that what you tried is not what I've got? See, people try church. Some of you come, I'm glad you come. And you try, you're reading a Bible bit, perhaps you try a bit of prayer or whatever, but you don't go to God. And so you think it's all a little bit tedious, a bit dull, a bit boring. What have you got? You know, we played a little clip on Christmas morning. Hallelujah, we've been found, was the chorus there. Have you been found? Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Have you been found by him as he came seeking to save? I bumped into two people last week. I haven't seen them for years and years and years, well over 20 years. And I first knew them long before I was a Christian. And when I said hello to them, the first thing she said to me was, with a smirk on her face, "Still with God?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And you know, I said, the more I look at the world and the more I look at myself, nothing else makes sense. And I was amazed that he said to me, "That's an interesting thought." Now, I don't know, obviously. See, Christianity makes sense. If a skeptic, my wife's not here today, if a skeptic tried to convince me that there is no person called Anne, that it's all been a delusion, I'd have to say, I've been married for 40 years, man. I got scars all over me. I've been married for 40 years. I know it's real. I know she exists. When people say, you can't prove it, mostly I would say, okay, but actually you can. And I'm going to tell a story I've told dozens of times because it's such a moving story. Many years ago when I was working in Morriston, I was outside a chip shop. We were giving out some Christian leaflets late one night. There was a group of teenagers, and there was one girl with a very pretty girl with frizzy hair, girl about 16, I suppose, something like that. And she said, I was tired probably, and she said, "You can't prove it." I said, "Yeah, I can." I said, "I tell you what, get down on your knees right here on the pavement in front of the chip shop. Beg the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you your sins." I said, "And you know what? He will, and you'll know it, and they'll know it. Everybody will see it demonstrated, the reality." And she said, "I'm not doing that." I said, "Well, in that case, you'll never know. You can't prove it then." About 6 weeks later, we were in another part of Morriston giving out some leaflets, a group of youngsters, and one of them said, "Oh, are you the fellow outside the chip shop a couple of weeks ago?" "Yeah," I said, "that's right." I said, "Oh, I thought I'd recognize you." And they said, "Oh, do you remember the girl with the frizzy hair?" I said, "Yeah, I remember." "She's dead." I said, "What do you mean she's dead?" "We were sniffing something and she just, you know, she just went into fit like and she died." And I said to them, but that night, I urged her to prove. I urged her there and then. See, it's not Peter Pan stuff. You know, an old mate of mine years ago said, "Oh, I wish I could believe. He's dead now." He said, "It's not wishing, man. It's not think a pleasant thought. It's doing what the message says. Look, there's a Savior being born to you in Bethlehem. He's lying in a manger in clothes. Well, let's go and see then. Is there a baby in Bethlehem lying in the food trough?" And off they go. A couple of months ago, wasn't it? There was a bomb scare in Old Trafford. 76,000 people had to be evacuated. I doubt if Jesus spoke to anywhere near that number of people in his entire life. Yet he turned the world upside down. How's that then? How are there millions of genuine Christians worldwide today? People who had their lives turned around. People who had, as we heard in the kids' story, their sins forgiven. The answer is because he's real. And because he can be checked. He can be verified. The shepherds heard the message. They said, "Let's go." Do you think it was difficult for them to believe the message? Or the wise men, "Are we going to follow a star?" "What? Come on. No, we're going to follow a star. God has spoken to us." "Oh, come on now." It is impossible. Of course it is. It has to be a miracle. It's not difficult to believe. It's impossible to believe, isn't it? All you can do is go to God. All you can do, you can't sit down and say, "Right, I'm going to work all this out." Because I remember a professor years ago went to Tasmania in a tent. For 18 months, he said, "I dismiss all miraculous, I dismiss all these supernatural, I'm going to find out if there's a God academically." He studies and studies and studies. He concludes there is, but he's no better off. He still doesn't know him. What's the point in concluding academically that somebody's created it? The world. The shepherds went. They found that this event, though it was absolutely impossible, humanly speaking, it wasn't impossible for God. Have you checked out if it's true? Have you? You need to. Because it's urgent, you know. 2016, somebody was saying on the radio, yes, it's going to be remembered now for all the wrong reasons, you know, all the famous celebrities who passed away and so on. Yeah. See, this is important. It's urgent because there's the possibility of losing your soul. Losing your soul. To lose a biro or a sock, it's not a big deal. To lose your health, or your house, or your job, oh, that's a bigger deal. To lose your soul. To have the opportunity and to deliberately dismiss it and choose to lose your soul. These are big things. Big things. What I'm saying to you is, unless, just like the shepherds, you say, let's go. You'll never know. You'll never know. Amen. Let's sing a beautiful song.